Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. As your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of old, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your hope to come into the world. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 767 in your pew Bible. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord, your God, is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of a festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all of your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The grown-ups to have a seat, and any children who want to come forward to come and join me and Pastors Maggie and Will up here up front. And if you're worshiping from home, you can just get a little closer to your screen, because this time is for you. Come on down, Penelope. Glad to see you. Good morning, good morning. Happy y'all are here. So we are in this season called Advent. Come on down. We'll wait for you. So glad to see you this morning. Oh, there's more. I jumped too fast. Come on up. Just have a seat right here. So glad to see you this morning. So we're in a season that the church calls Advent. It means we are waiting for the advent of God, the coming of God into the world in the baby Jesus. And each week we light candles, one more each week, to get ready for Christmas and the birth of Christ. So this week, the color of our candle is a little different. What color is that candle right there?
Pink.
It's pink. Do you like pink, Penelope? I love pink. It's purple's my favorite color, but pink is my second favorite color. And it is a color that means joy. It's our joy candle. So today we're thinking about joy and the joy that God gives us. Now, I know a song about joy, and some of you may know this same song. I know some of you know this song, so we're going to sing it together. And if you don't know it, all you have to do is say the word where when I point to you, okay? So the song goes like this. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Okay, that's how it goes. Y'all jumped the gun too. So, all right. Here we go. That was a practice. The choir's been practicing a lot lately, so that was a practice. Now we're going to do it for real, okay? And if you want to sing the part with me, you're always welcome to do that too. So, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. That song reminds us that we've got joy way down in our hearts. And we talk sometimes about Jesus being in our hearts. And it's just a reminder that God is always with us in our hearts, and that gives us joy. And no matter what's going on in the world around us, no matter if you've got a broken arm or maybe your best friend just moved away or things at school are hard, whatever's going on in your life, we can still have joy because God is with us. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for loving us, for being in our hearts all the time, no matter what. Sometimes life can be hard, but we know that you're always with us, and so we have joy. Help us to share your joy with everybody we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks for listening. 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with family or friends, whoever you were sitting with before. One of the things that brings me joy this time of year is giving and receiving Christmas cards. Some of you have probably started receiving Christmas cards, and I get cards from friends of mine from high school and college and graduate school who live all over the country and all over the world. Friends I haven't seen in years, but every year I get to see what they look like. And I get to see their dogs and if they have kids. And it's just a wonderful way to keep in touch. A couple of weeks ago at our Wednesday night program, Will led us in a conversation around messages of hope. And he was talking about the words that we see on Christmas cards and the most popular greetings that are on the Christmas cards that we receive. Now, I didn't take notes. I'm sorry. So I don't remember the top five. But I do remember some of them, and some of them that have been on my cards. Merry Christmas, obviously. That's number one. Happy holidays. Have a holly jolly Christmas, making spirits bright. And the number one greeting in 2024 is...
Keep calm and ho, ho, ho.
Keep calm and ho, ho, ho. So ho, ho, ho. And these are all words that we're used to hearing this time of year. They're appropriate for the Christmas season. I mean, the Christmas season is merry and happy and jolly and bright and shopping and parties and cookies. And we know the drill, right? This is kind of the atmosphere of the Christmas season. And I'm not throwing shade on any of that. That's all good. That's all fun. I wish everyone happy, merry, bright, and jolly and ho, ho, ho. But the Christmas season is different from the season we are in as Christians. We're navigating the Christmas season every day in December, but when we gather as the people of God in worship and when you light your Advent wreath at home, if you have one, we are entering into a very different kind of season. Advent is a season of waiting and longing. It's a season when, yes, we prepare to hear the story again of Jesus' birth, but we are also waiting and longing and preparing for the final return of the Christ. We hear the voices of the prophets telling us about that day that is coming, that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We're longing for that day when the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and a little child shall lead them, and they shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. We are longing for that day when the kingdom of God is realized in all of its fullness on earth as it is in heaven. And so in Advent, we as the people of God can be very honest about how the world is not as we hope it would be. The world is not yet as God would have it be. There is still that day coming and that work that God is doing to move us toward that day. It is a season when we can be honest about that pain that it causes to be in between the now and the not yet. And so happy and merry and jolly and jingle, jingle, ho, ho, ho are words that don't quite do it for us in Advent. But there is a word that emerges in this season that is absolutely right for this time and this people. And that word is joy. Joy, you see, is a spiritual word. It's a biblical word. As we use these words, we recognize that happy and jolly and merry are words that depend on your circumstances. You're happy when you step out on Christmas morning and there is a beautiful brand new Lexus with a red bow on it. Woo! You're happy when you go to your family's Christmas gathering and everybody's getting along and the food is perfect and nothing is burned and no one talks about politics and no one tells that story about what happened when I was 11 years old. It was the most embarrassing moment of my life. You're happy. You're jolly. Ho, ho, ho. But joy is something that is a gift from God. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a promise for those who love God, and it does not depend on our circumstances, on what we have and what we don't have, on our emotions of grief and loss, or whatever our emotions may be. Joy is lodged in a deeper place in our hearts and in our souls. We hear the word joy or rejoice or some variation of that over and over and over again in the Scriptures. We hear it in the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Words that he wrote from a prison cell. And yet he could rejoice, even in those circumstances. We hear Jesus in the Gospel of John as he has his disciples gathered around for the Last Supper. Some of his final words to them are, I have come that you might have joy and that your joy might be complete. Words he said to them when only hours later he would be arrested and condemned to death. Even in those circumstances, he had joy and he wanted them to have joy. So how can we, as the people of God, in this very messy season of the year, reground ourselves in the joy of the Lord? I think the prophet Zephaniah is going to be our guide on this journey this morning. And I want to do a little bit of a deeper dive in this text that we've heard. But before I do that, I just want to say, I have had the opportunity to hear these verses read aloud several times this week. I have an audio Bible, and I listened to this text on Monday morning. On Monday night in Staff Parish, Elizabeth Cambron, our chair, read the text to us. We read it aloud in Bible study. We read it again in staff meeting, and every time I heard this text, tears welled up in my eyes. Because I need to hear this word of the Lord. I need to hear this good news. And so I want to invite you, whether or not you agree with my interpretation of the text this morning, to take it home with you, to read it again and again, every morning perhaps, and just immerse yourself in the love and joy of God. It's good news for all of us. So we're going to dive a little deeper. We're going to land on a few lily pads in the text just to see what they have to teach us about holy joy. The third chapter of Zephaniah is when the joy erupts, but it's a rough road getting there. If you've read the whole book of Zephaniah, it's a tough read. If you were here last week, you know we were in the prophet Malachi, and the book of Malachi begins with God saying, I love you. And all the hard stuff that God says through the prophet after that is all held in this love that's already been announced. Well, Zephaniah doesn't start that way. Zephaniah starts off with portraying the word of the Lord as, I am about to wipe everything off the face of the earth. Oh, it begins with anger. It begins with judgment. It begins with this wrath just coming at the people because the prophet interprets God as being so frustrated with the people of Israel for their lack of faith, how they continue to turn to their political leaders instead of to God, how they continue to turn their backs on the poor and the oppressed and the vulnerable and the widow and the orphan, how they've lost their way again and again, and it's just this word of judgment. And it's hard. In the second chapter, God turns toward all the nations surrounding Israel. It's not just Israel, it's all of you. And then, chapter 3, the tone begins to shift. And in some ways, it's like sudden. And it's not because Israel has changed. Israel has done nothing. But it is God whose heart warms toward them again. And so we get to this text where God says, sing, shout, rejoice. And the prophet says, for God has removed all judgment from you. The charges are dropped. God no longer looks upon you with judgment or condemnation. You are forgiven. That is huge. All of this that the people likely deserve has been lifted away. You know, as Christians, we read this text and we understand that that forgiveness is lived out in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, who, while we were yet sinners, God sent Jesus to die for us. We say that every week. But if you're one of those folks who thought, you know, well, there's no grace in the Old Testament, well, here it is right here. God has removed all judgment from you. And so if today there are burdens that you carry of guilt or shame or something from your past, words that you wish you could take back, actions that you wish you could take back or you wish you had taken, all of the things we carry around to beat ourselves up again and again, lay it down. Hear the word of the Lord inviting you to lay it down because God has taken it away. And if that is not a cause for joy, I don't know what is. Every one of us is given a brand new slate through the grace of God. Every day. The prophet goes on to say, the Lord is in your midst. This is our next lily pad that I want to land on. God is with you. Whatever moment the Israelites were going through with the Babylonians breathing down their neck, God is with them. Whatever moment you are going through, whether it's illness or job loss or a broken relationship or whatever it may be, the Lord is in your midst. God is with you. And God is in the world, in our midst, moving and transforming and working to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. May that truth be a source of joy for us, no matter what we're going through. We are not alone. God is with us. The next lily pad I want to land on is this beautiful imagery. When the prophet says, God will delight over you. God is singing and rejoicing and dancing over you. Can you receive this good news that God takes delight in you? That God is dancing because of you? In 2013, I had the joy of traveling to Uganda with the ministry Raise the Roof. They're out at our ministry market this month. My friend David Sebelime helped to start a school there for children, and it has grown and grown and grown. In 2013, it was really in its early stages. And as we pulled into the little village of Wasandeku, the children of the school, their parents, the faculty, I think the whole village was out there in these beautiful, colorful outfits, and they were drumming and singing and ululating and doing all of these things because they were rejoicing over us. They were welcoming us with joy. And I've never had anybody sing like that over me. We'll mention the example of when people gather to sing you happy birthday. Next time you sing happy birthday to someone, don't do the happy birthday to. Happy birthday for joy, delight over you. That's God singing over you, that image of joy. Take that, hear that, receive that, and may that give you joy in this season of life, that God takes delight and is dancing over you. And the last lily pad I want to land on is this: the last few verses of this text, the pronoun shift. I don't know if you noticed that, but the prophet Zephaniah is saying what God will do. God will do this, God will do this, God will rejoice over you. And then suddenly it becomes I, and it is the voice of the Lord saying, at that time, I will deal with all your oppressors. I will gather you. I will heal you. I will bring you home. I will restore your fortunes before your eyes. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. And that is such a powerful reminder that it is God's strength and God's love and God's power and God's joy that animates us. We don't have to go out there and fix all the brokenness in the world. We can't. We don't have to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and get over our anxiety and depression. We can't do that by ourselves. But with the power and love of God, we can. But it's a powerful reminder that it is God's doing. And so the prophet instructs us early on in the text, if all of this is true, if God is with us, if God delights over us, if God will work through us, then, therefore, says the prophet, do not fear. And do not let your hands grow weak. Friends, we have so much work to do in this world. There is so much that is broken. There are so many ways that we are not yet who God is calling us to be. But because God is with us, and because we have access to the love and compassion of power of God, an unending source of all of that in this living relationship we have with God, we need not fear, and we need not give in to despair. We need not grow tired. Because we've got the joy. Joy, 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 joy. Where? Down in our hearts, down in our hearts, to stay and never be shaken.